You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 315. Today is Sunday, September 13th, 2015, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hammy and Curtis. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll talk about some good starting pitching performances this week, organizational awards given out by the Braves, and rooting for the number one pick. But first, guys, in one of his columns earlier this week, Ken Rosenthal wrote that, quote, "I've been hearing all season that players are frustrated with Gonzalez, that he essentially has lost the clubhouse." So, Ham, awesome news. I mean, first off. So, Ham, do you believe it? And do you think, you know, or how do you think this will all play out?
So I mean, there's two questions there. And for the first one, it's for me, it's funny what a difference a few months make. Because when the news came out of Freddie's extension, I personally thought that it was great. I thought Freddie was the perfect manager to lead us through this transition, because at the All-Star break, the Braves were playing over their heads, and we all agreed that, right? That everybody was overperforming. You had the young guys like Peterson were playing well. You had cast-offs like Maben who were overachieving, and then you had veterans coming in, Brzezinski, Grilly, Johnson, who were playing at a high level. So all was good. Fast forward however many games, and the wheels have completely fallen off. And not to restate any stats or anything, but we're setting – both franchise and league records for horribleness. And I think that a lot of this is due to injuries and trades and youth, but I think at this point you have to say that a lot of this is due to Freddie as well. And I can understand that these are all professional players. These are all men, grown men who have pride, and that with all this losing, that Freddie is the easy scapegoat here. So I can imagine that with all this losing, it's easy to say that Freddie is a reason and that he has lost the clubhouse. So I buy that a little bit, but I think it's all part of a larger frustration picture. Now, in terms of, you know, how do I think this plays out? I think that the management has been making excuses for Freddie for a long time this season, and even going back four seasons. And I think that they're running out of excuses for Freddie and the losing and the inability to get veterans to win, get good teams to win, get bad teams to win. And I think if we don't see demonstrable progress next season, he has to go. And I actually think he will go before the end of next season.
Yeah, you know, what's weird is the part of I've been hearing all season that players are frustrated.
Yeah.
And I would believe it much more if this was, you know, since the All-Star break, when the Braves have won four games since then, I've been hearing it. I would believe that part. The other part that's strange about it is with AJ, with Gomes, like, DOB wrote that specifically AJ and Gomes, like, had the ear of the front office. Wouldn't these guys say something to the front office if this really was going on inside the clubhouse? Because they wouldn't want to stand for it for a number of reasons. They wouldn't want to stand for it. But it feels like the front office has to investigate it and go to the AJs and the Markakises of the world and be like, look, what is to this? And do we have a problem here?
Yeah. But at the same time, you're seeing articles that Przezinski's one of his, you know, has really found a home and has loved this season, is not down. So.
Right. And Gomes was saying he wanted to stay, you know, hope that he would be with the team next year and all that stuff. Curtis, how do you see it?
Well, first, if you could pick up Frustration Pictures' first album, it's really, really good. I think that it's kind of a dual thing in a lot of what you guys are saying. One, you do have these veteran guys in here. So it seems like it would have come up before now. And again, I'm not trying to defend Freddie.
Right, we think he should have been fired like a couple of times a number of years ago.
And not necessarily
definitely at the end of last season.
Whatever. I do think that as Hamilton mentions, to go in about face, some of all this losing has to fall on the coaching staff. I mean, I understand that you're not going to win a bunch of games with the talent pool that you have with this team right now. But like today, I think you can kind of pin that loss on Freddie. Pulling Moylan out of this game today really a regrettable decision in hindsight. But even at the time, why do that?
I just want to say about that real quick. Moreland's your second best and reliable bullpen guy next to Vizcaino. And Vizcaino clearly is not available. He pitched the last two games. So to take him out, one, is crazy. To take him out and not even create a lefty-lefty matchup is even more crazy. Like, you just brought in another righty. Yeah, no, it was obscene, that whole transition there. Sorry, Kirk, go ahead.
That's okay. So, you know, we as fans are frustrated as well. But I think the second part of that is with these veteran guys, and as Ham mentioned, some of them have talked about, they're kind of enjoying this process, if that's the word. Swisher is part of that too. They've got Moylan now on this team, who are all supposed to be good clubhouse guys. So if you've lost those types of guys, Markakis, whoever it might be, Cameron Maben, that's really bad. And on top of that, you have all these young players. And so, as like in any job, if you have a manager and you have a bunch of young people working for that manager, and they lack respect for that manager, or they don't believe that that manager has their best interests in mind and things like that, that's like the death knell. So if this does in fact prove to be true, which again, it seems hard that it's just now come up, but if it does prove to be true, I don't think he can make it even to next season. I think that they have to do something immediately. And obviously, I think that what they want to do, and personally, is have him shepherd another kind of mediocre team through next season and then maybe go splashy in 2017. But yeah, if this proves to be the case, he's got to go now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's any investigation into it and anything happens around it. All right, so guys, on sort of the good news, there was a nice bounce back from some of the starting pitchers this week. Williams Perez, seven innings, two earned in Philly. And then this weekend, six innings, three earned against the Mets. Ryan Weber, six innings, two earned in Philly in his debut. Four runs today, but still pretty solid for a rookie. Whistler, six innings, two earned against the Mets. So, Kurt, name your three other starting pitchers after Shelby and Tehran for 2016 with what you know now.
Well, it was good to see. I mean, it was nice to see some starts strung together. Unfortunately, our bullpen is such a cataclysm that we couldn't win any of these games.
I mean, seriously, there was no awful starting pitching performance this whole week. It was crazy.
And we talked about, Steve, you and I talked about that last week, how it would be nice to see them string some starts together.
Yeah.
And it really points to the fact that the worst gaping hole in the team right now is the bullpen, and it's got to be completely revamped. But with that, Ryan Weber's very exciting. He's like the poor man's Chris Medlin to me, little short guy and, you know, look like a good attitude. And
he's a bulldog.
Not a lot of speed. Yeah, you got to love that stuff. So I'm going, as I walk around this, Shelby, Tehran, obviously. After that, I'm going Whistler. I'm going, sadly to say, because I really don't think he belongs there, but I think he's going to get the nod as Folty. And then my fifth, not necessarily maybe the number five, but the fifth starting pitcher I have penciled in for next year is Mike Minor. I think they bring him back. I think they need a veteran presence in this starting rotation. They've relied way too much on these young guys, and it's proven to have been pretty disastrous. I think Williams Perez is a guy that they hope has some really good starts going down the stretch, and they can package him and send him off somewhere with some other pieces to try and fill some of these voids, but that's my five.
All right, Hammy, how about you?
So I agree. I agree with Whistler. I agree that I think Perez is going to be traded. I agree with that. I think that I think it's Banuelos. I can't count on Minor until I actually see him throw a pitch. So I can't even imagine him starting for the Braves again. It's just been so bad. I actually think that, and maybe this is more hoping than you know thinking what the Braves will do. I hope Tyrell Jenkins gets a start. I think that he's made a good rise up through double A, triple A, I think with a good spring. Why not? I think he has more upside than Folty. I think he's more ready. I actually think he's better than Weber. I think he's got more upside than Fried or than Folty, not than Fried, but I think he's more ready than those other guys. So That's who I think it would be. I think it would be Whistler. I think it would be Banuelos, who, if he can stay healthy, I think is better than Perez, better than all those guys. And I hope it's Tyrell Jenkins. I hope that we start seeing some of these young guys up here getting a shot.
Yeah, so I think after watching what happened this year, they have got to, and they will, have a third veteran in the rotation. So and first choice is probably Mike Minor. But if not Mike Minor, it's going to be player to be named. I mean, I just believe they're not going to go with three young guys behind Tehran and Shelby again. So Tehran, Shelby, veteran guy, and then, yeah, Kurt, I'd say Whistler and Fulte. I think that the rest of those guys are going to be at AAA. Some of them are going to be traded. Like, you know, all these pitching pieces need to turn into bats at some point, and a couple of those guys are going to be gone.
But do you think they're going to try to win next year?
I do think they're going to try to win next year.
That they're not – because my whole thing is predicated on it's a building season towards 2017. Why – who cares about the outcomes next year?
I think that they want to guard against 2015 again. They don't want to be they don't want to be the worst team in baseball, you know. I really don't think so. I think it's been so painful at the ticket window and otherwise that they want to make it better than it was this year.
Yeah, I don't think they can walk into the new park winning 65 games 2 years in a row.
Right,
that's tough to overcome. And I mean, if for all. You know, to their credit, they did actually try to not have all these young pitchers in the rotation this year. Obviously, Minor got hurt, but they cranked through three or four dudes at the beginning of the year whose names I can't even remember at this point. But, you know, they tried to not have this situation arise where they
Trevor Cahill.
Yeah, right, guys Cahill, like that.
Who was the lefty that broke camp with the team?
We had Wandy Rodriguez in camp.
Well, I thought they cut him right before the season started.
Yeah, they cut Wandy and gave it to the other guy from, wasn't it Stoltz? Wasn't it the guy from San Diego?
Yeah.
Stoltz, yeah. Oh my God, that feels like 5 years ago.
But so whether they do it or not, do you guys feel like that's the right thing? I get nervous about mired in mediocrity, about being the Hawks for every season up until last season, of not just completely saying, you know what? Let's really rebuild. Let's really go young. Let's let these guys take their lumps. Let's let the team. I have a concern that if we try to retool and not completely rebuild, that we'll never get there. That we'll be mediocre 2017 and for many years to come.
Well, I feel like they kind of did this year, and they are taking so much heat because of the situation that they have playing out right now. I'm not saying that that's going to dictate their moves, but I just don't see that. And also, I think that it will help to get some of these dudes acclimated. You never know what's going to happen when you bring a bunch of pieces in. You could have the Marlins, how they've done two or three times now, where they brought a bunch of pieces in and said, okay, this is the team. We're going to throw all these, some high-priced veterans on this team, and all of a sudden we're going to be a World Series champion, and it's totally blown up in their face. So I think that maybe they give it a trial run next year with some guys and see what happens. Rest in peace, Moses Malone, by the way.
Yeah.
Ham, I think the approach is going to be similar. I think it's just not going to be so much next year. I think they realize they cannot have so many kids. They don't want to be unwatchable.
I know. I appreciate it. But I don't think you can be – let's try to win games now and let's build for the future at the same time. I don't think it works. I think this season was a perfect case study of that. And I think to say, well, we need a veteran here so we don't have the same outcomes as we did last year is trying to have a foot in both camps. I don't think that's a tenable situation.
Well, anyway. I think that had they not traded Johnson, Kelly Johnson, and Uribe, they would have won, you know, some more games.
And if Grilly doesn't,
it's still been mediocre.
If Grilly doesn't get hurt, I mean, maybe they do trade Grilly too. But you know, who knows with some of that stuff? And I mean, if last year came again this year, where they had Harang and some of these guys that they did pull off the scrap heap and who pitched great, maybe if they had been able to do that with Stoltz or Cahill, if those guys had come in here and actually pitched well or well enough to win some games. you know, maybe this plays out a little differently. Not necessarily that they're competing for a wild card, but not that they're competing for the worst record in baseball either.
All right, guys, time for a new segment called Checking on the Kids. Last week we started this. We looked at some of the rookies on the Major League squad. This week, let's look at two guys in the minors who took home some hardware this week. So first, the organizational pitcher of the year. We just talked about him, right-handed pitcher Tyrell Jenkins. And then organizational player of the year, outfielder Malik Smith, who we got in the Justin Upton trade. So, Ham, seeing the success these guys have had, does it give you more hope for next year?
Well, it does. It gives me more hope. I don't know about next year, but for the short term. Yeah, yeah. In the short term future, right? Not a longer term. Absolutely. I have a lot of hope in these guys. I say for Jenkins, just reading about him, he reminds me actually of Medlin as well. Curtis, you mentioned Weber, but you know, there was when Medlin was here, everybody said he was the best athlete on the team, certainly of pitchers and of other players, and they say that about Jenkins too. He was a four sport athlete. He was a quarterback at Baylor, and so I'm excited by that. I think that he has a lot of upside. His downside is that he's got a hitch in his delivery that when he can't control it, he's a little wild. But I think that's fixable, and I think he's such a good athlete that I think he's going to be very good very soon. So I'm very, very excited about Tyrell, and I think I'm ready for him right now. Why wait? I'd like to see him right now, and I'd love to see him this September. I'd love to see him get a call up and get a start. And for Malik Smith, I think he's this, you know, he is our center fielder of the future. He's got speed. He hits consistently. He's had a lot of 8-10 game hitting streaks, both in double A as well as triple A. You know, he's leading the entire organization in stolen bases. So, and you know, he's had, I don't think he's perfect as he's not Andrew Jones as an outfielder, but he's, you know, a pretty good fielding percentage. So I'm excited for him, and I'd like to see him now. Why wait?
Well, I think you wait on both those guys, Ham, because the season is lost, and why start their clock?
But I think for next season, so hope okay. For next season. Yeah, I think, and so, and we'll talk about this in a second, but I think that I would love to see them on the opening day roster, both in terms of in the starting rotation as well as on, you know, in the starting lineup for Malik Smith. They've proven that they can do it in the minors, and I know that the minors is no prediction of what's going to happen in the majors, but why wait? Why? I would rather have Malik Smith playing than Nick Swisher.
All right. Well, if you're going to put it that way, Ham.
Just how dare you to disagree with me.
Yeah, really. Curtis, how about you?
Sure, of course. You're always excited to see good young players, and especially players that are so touted in our system, actually have really good minor league seasons. That's important as they develop through our farm system that they are actually good. It's interesting that there's some names, some other guys that we, you know, like Lucas Sims and people like that are not popping up on any of these lists. I don't know what that means, if they just got outshined by some of these other guys. But those are guys that we're depending on too. I will say, I guess, caution is that great minor league players do not necessarily make great major league players. I mean, we see Betancourt go down and bat 340 and then comes back up here and, you know, can't bat his weight. George Lombard was the perfect 4A player. So it's always exciting to have young talent in the system, but you really want some of these guys to start translating that success onto the major league level as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's great. And Jenkins was the total forgotten guy in the Jason Hayward trade. But he looks like he could really be, you know, a starting pitcher. I mean, I feel great about the starting pitching. I do. There's so many pieces. Some of them are going to hit. You know, the fact that Malik Smith is the organizational player of the year with a slugging percentage of .386, the only thing about it, you know, it points out that this rebuild and our jump from bottom five to top five is all about arms and is not about bats. You know, Malik's may be a great piece. He could be our leadoff batter of the future, leadoff hitter of the future. He's stolen 57 stolen bases this year, Ham, like you mentioned. But the farm, this, you know, these pieces in the farm, some of them need to get turned into bats.
Yeah. And we don't have Evan Gattis, right? Yeah. There's no Gattis down there. Ready to slug.
There's no sluggers down there, really, anywhere close, anyway. Can Hart and Copy trade arms and turn them into bats? I mean, I think we're going to see some of it this offseason. So, you know, we'll start to find out sooner than later. So, yeah, it's good, but the entire picture, you know, it's only half rosy in my mind.
Yeah, and the Gwinnett position player of the year is Adonis Garcia, who's like 30, you know, so.
Right, right.
And spent a ton of time.
Well, I mean, so much of the minor league depth has graduated to the Braves already, to the major league team.
And not that I'm not a big Garcia fan, but you would.
No, I mean, my God, he's going to be around next year. Don't you think he'll be a bench player next year?
Absolutely. I hope so. He should. Yeah,
yeah, deservedly so.
Yeah. All right, guys, time for fair or foul, where I throw something out there. You agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So, Curtis, fair or foul, you are rooting for losses at this point so the Braves can secure that number one pick.
I will preface this by saying I watched that game today, and it was as painful as any other game that I've watched this season. With that, I was not totally disappointed that they lost. This is a completely lost season, and really the only win I have out of the whole thing is that they could get the number one pick. Because reading some stuff last week, the number one pick in baseball is a pretty sure shot to not only be a major league player, but to be a really good major league player. So as long as the Braves don't go in it cheap and, try and
screw it up.
Screw it up. Yeah. I have to say that I'm rooting for the number one pick at this point.
All right, Hammy.
Yeah, I'm a lot along the lines of Curtis. I have two rules. First of all, is you never boo your own team unless it's John Rocker. And you never hope for them to lose. It's just such bad karma. But and especially against other NL East teams. But I have to say, this season I really am. I mean, I'm hoping that they get that spot, because I can appreciate, and I talked about this earlier, there's a pride thing, and it can be very demoralizing both as a fan and as a player, as an organization, to lose so much. But there is no prize for second through 29th place. Right, you get nothing. So if you're going to be mediocre, I would rather. I don't want to have finish 25th in the league and get the fifth pick. I would rather finish 30th and get the first pick. I don't think that's unreasonable. So I would always like the chance to fight, to be in the playoffs, to go in as an 81 win team with a shot at the World Series. But if you're going to lose and not be in the postseason, why not get the first? That's the only thing you can win. Is the first round draft pick. So I'm not going to root for them to lose, but I am hoping that they get the first round pick. So fair.
Yeah, I mean, I don't sit in my living room and watch the games and hope that they lose. Like, I didn't pump my fist when Ryan Kelly gave up the 3-run homer this afternoon. That said, it's one of the strangest seasons in a long time with all the losing, and it does, for me, I get to go, well, that was awful, and the team's awful, but yeah, another loss that gets us closer to the number one pick. So, I mean, I know I'm not answering exactly. So, no, I don't root for it, but I'm not unhappy about it after the loss gets registered. It really is such a weird year.
And so the good news is, looking at the 2016 prospects for the number one pick, they're all pitchers.
Hey, man, we can trade him and turn him into a bat.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, Hammy, fair or foul, you opened the season with Cameron Maben as your starting center fielder in 2016.
So
I think you kind of answered this.
I did. I would. I just want to get him up here. I would love to move. But I do love Maben. So I would love to move Maben to left field, put Malik Smith at center, put Michael Bourne in
living room.
Seattle. And that's what I would like to open the season with. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if Smith is ready. If Smith is not ready, absolutely, I want Maben as my starting center fielder. So, it's a conditional foul. But I definitely want Maben in our starting lineup next year.
All right, Curtis?
I go fair. I think we wait a little while on Malik Smith. In August, he's obviously had the abrasion to his cornea or whatever's been kind of slowing him down. But I mean, in August, he still batted .268, slugged .402, which is almost as high a month as he's had all year long. So he's sustained this. It's not been fluky by any stretch of the imagination. And you saw him totally lay out for that ball.
Oh, that was so beautiful.
And, the guy's still you know, it's become cliche with this season, but there are guys you can tell that are still really laying it out there and trying to do everything they can to win that game. He could have and Bourne, to his credit, that catch he made against the wall the other night, same deal. But Maven could have totally mailed that in and not gone for that ball today. And I respect that, and I absolutely want him back. I think he's a valuable part of this team. And with go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Curtis. I just think he's kind of home here, right? You know, when he says that the places where he's played before this, he was either the expectations were too high or he wasn't the man or there were veterans in front of him. I think that this is a great situation for Maven, and I think next season will be as well.
You know, so his high watermark this year, his slash line high watermark anyways, was June 13th. He was at 303. On base 375, slugging 421. Since that time, 70-plus games, his slash line is 251, so down 50 points, 308, down almost 70 points, 364, down almost 60 points. And that 251, 308, 364 is essentially his career slash line. And I think we can all agree his career before this year was, you know, not so great, right? Underwhelming. Yeah. So I don't know that I want my center fielder to lack power to slug 364. If the Braves can get something for him of value, I say trade him and fill that hole with a real bat. He may be okay, but if you can still sell high on Maven, I think you do it. I know. All right. You guys love Maven. My wife loves him. He smiles all the time. She loves him. All right, let's do Shot in the Dark, guys, our prediction for the coming week. And we'll start with our listener pick for Shot in the Dark. It was from Twitter follower Chris Simpson, and it was that the Braves wouldn't give up more than 5 runs in any game this week. Chris was rolling through the first 3 games on the prediction, but then the Mets came to town and put up a 7, a 6, and a 10. So, good start there, Chris. And folks, get your Shot in the Dark submitted on Twitter or Facebook before first pitch on Tuesday. Braves are off on Monday. We will pick one, we'll track it, and we'll discuss it on next week's show. All right, so guys, let's take a look at how we did last week. So, Kurt, you predicted the Braves would be in last place by 3 games this week. Now, they're tied for last with the Phillies, and they're 5.5 behind the Marlins. So I feel like this tie's messed me up. I'm not sure how to judge that exactly. You were really talking they'd be behind the Phillies, weren't you?
I think I have to latch myself to that aspect of it. I felt like they would be behind the Phillies. So I can't reward myself that win.
Well, let's come back to it. Let's see how the others do.
All right, so Ham, you had Bourne hitting over 300 with 2 stolen bases.
Right, so Kurt, you're looking really good.
He hit 280 with 2 stolen bases.
Oh.
Ham, I feel like you might have known this before. Okay. And I predicted that Freddie would have 2 multi-homer games. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but in Freddie's first at-bat of the first game this week, he hit a homer. And I was like, oh, my God, I got this thing in the bag. He's totally going to blow up. And then he didn't hit a homer the rest of the week. So the win goes to Hammy.
Yes.
Congratulations, Ham. It is Ham and Kurt tied at 1 and me at 0 for the month of September. All right, so Curtis, what is your Shot in the Dark for this coming week?
Well, it seems to be the best way to go about this now is to bet against the Braves. So
That's how I keep winning.
Yes, clearly. I am going that and this seems like a chump bet, but the bullpen gives up 15 runs this week. Especially with Toronto coming in, but yeah, whatever.
It is a sad state of affairs. We were talking about this before the show, and we were like, maybe that's a little low.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that even crossed our mind in all seriousness is, yeah, just sad.
And I almost just changed it to 18, but I thought, that seems still outrageous at 15. 6 yeah. games, 15 runs by the bullpen.
And yet there's going to be that 7-run game.
Right.
Yeah, against
right
off the bat. Jays. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Marksberry's still on the team, right? Just making sure.
Ham, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I remember thinking back when we had that 4-game series against the Cubs and I won the Shot in the Dark. I picked 9 homers and I thought, wait a minute, is this too low or too high? That the Cubs would hit 9 homers. And so I was thinking, okay, my Shot in the Dark is going to be that in our 3 games against the Blue Jays that they'll score 25 runs against us. that feels like it's not a shot in the dark necessarily, but I'm going to go with it. I think it's 25 that the Blue Jays score over 25 runs.
Okay. All right, and I'm going that Whistler is going to give up fewer earned runs than either Tehran or Shelby in the Toronto series. I think Whistler goes crazy this week. All right, guys, so let's take a look at our win-loss predictions we made last week and look ahead to this week's games. So for this 2-5 week, Ham and I were closest at 1-6, and Kurt, based on nothing, clearly not watching this team, you predicted 0-7.
I was so way off base.
Did they win two games this week?
Yeah, they did. They beat the Phillies.
They took the series.
They won a series. Yep. The first series
on the road,
All-Star break.
On the road, yeah.
Yeah, so they come back home and now have lost 12 games in a row at home.
It's so awful. Oh, my God. All right, so guys, let's look at the matchups for this week's games. They are all at home. Three against the mighty Blue Jays, although terrible about the Tulowitzki injury, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, he finally gets out, and he's going to go to the playoffs, and then, yeah, I hope that it's not as bad as they think. And then three against the Phillies. So the Toronto series starts with Tehran against Mark Burley in his 3.74 ERA. Next up, the marquee matchup of Shelby Miller versus David Price and his 2.74 ERA. And poor Shelby, by the way.
Yes.
Like, he needs to oppose David Price.
Yeah, you know? Right. Every time we say his name, we should just say poor Shelby.
So that streak continues.
Yes. Oh, man. And then lastly is Whistler versus Marco Estrada and his 3.31. For the Phillies series, it's Williams Perez versus Alec Asher making his fourth start. He is sporting a 10-plus ERA.
Yeah, we lose that one.
Yeah. And next up, Ryan Weber gets his third start. He's against Jared Eichhoff and his 3.90 ERA. He's making his sixth start. And then lastly, Tehran again against Harang, who has an ERA of 5.04, and we tagged him for five earned runs last week as well. So, Ham, for the six games, what do you think they do?
We win that Tehran-Harang game and lose all the rest. So 1-5, we go 0-3 against the Blue Jays, 1-2, winning on Sunday against the Phillies.
All right, Curtis, what do you think?
Swept by Toronto and sadly win 2-3 from Philly, pushing that number one spot even farther away. So what does that make it, 2-4?
2-4 for you. I think we win the Whistler start against Toronto and we take 2-3 for Philly from Philly. So I know it doesn't seem to make sense, but I'm going 3-3.
Steve, we talked about not drinking before the show.
And on that note, that is the show. So everyone, please make sure that you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.